Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to today's show. This is Dr. Summer Reed. I am the publisher of Healing Hands Magazine, and today we have the honor of being in on a press conference with the cast of the film Carol. It opens January 16, 2016. And it's a British-American film. And if you look in your feed here on Blog Talk Radio, you will see where I've done part one, and this is part two. And the rest of the conference, there will be a link later in this show where you can see the visual part of this conference. And I will put a link up on YouTube where you can see it. So stick around, until after the show, and we have some exciting things to talk about. I only have 15 minutes here. It looks like we only have 8 minutes left. So in order to listen to the entire conference, I suggest that you call in, because I don't know how long the rest of the conference will last. but the guest call-in number is 917-889-2807. If you have a question, I will answer the question for you. So let's join what's already in session. And this is the Dr. Summer Show.
Kyle and Kate, did you guys have a favorite scene that you worked on together that you really love? Was there one
Kyle
moment?
Has a really favorite scene.
The dancing scene?
No. I chained her feet during the dancing scene, I'll tell you that.
We know we had dance classes together, which was interesting.
Oh, you've never done any film where you looked so afraid.
So afraid.
Dancing with me. My favorite scene was the one where I fell down 18 times. That was fun. That was fun.
Speaking about the men in the book, Phyllis and Jake, Richard is handled much more, he's much more brutal in the book, he's much more angry in the book as the book goes on. We see a little less of that in the film. Was that just sort of a natural consequence of having that character recede, or did you ever have a moment where you wanted to make him a little angrier towards Therese?
Well, I think... I suppose my intention was just to, I'm not a psychopath. I can't really enter into the heads of imaginary mm-hmm. characters. But insofar as one can, that's what I try to do. I am those people. How would I feel? How would I behave on a basic level? And certainly, I empathize, I suppose, with these men, and with the other young man in the film, who's also after Therese, at least momentarily. So it becomes easy, once you do that, to just have people behave in a way that you imagine they would. I mean, if I were Harge, I'd be pissed off too. And similarly with Richard, he's given no clue, really, and perhaps he's not so great on picking up on them. But still, Therese is quite reticent and quite internal. So I think it's hard to please someone like that. So that's really all it is, I think.
But I think you do reach a greater point of understanding of the men's dilemma in your screenplay than you do in the novel, because it's from Therese's perspective, and obviously Harge is all Therese is seeing from afar is the damage that she perceives of being done by to Carol by Harge, and what is stopping her is this constant pulling at her from behind by Richard. So there's an annoyance with those two men that is part of her youth, but also part of her thwarted desire. And what Phyllis has clearly done, what Todd definitely did with the filmmaking, is that you might start off with that, and the perspective, say, that the first argument that Therese witnesses Harge and Carol having is seen through doorways, a bit like watching your parents argue, but then you come to a greater point of understanding of the two men's positions, I think.
Mm-hmm. And Richard also even feels kind of brotherly in some ways to Therese. He feels, right, Jake, he kind of almost in some ways has a sense of like just a brotherly sort of sense to her. He doesn't feel like so much like a suitor as he does like a best friend.
Yeah, I think for Richard, I think he's under the impression that this is like a great love and it's probably his first, and so maybe there's more down the road, that sheds light in the future for him as to what this really was. But for him then, he feels like this is the one that's getting away, and I think there's also, I think for Richard in particular, there's a complete lack of vocabulary, a complete loss for how to describe this or experience it, and is searching for someone to put a label onto what this problem is, and even Therese is unable to define that for him as she's going through it. And that speaks to Richard, I think, and to the time that they're living in. There's an element of this discussion of like, we're walking, and Therese asks if I know anyone like that, and Richard says he does, but that it's usually like something in their past, as if it's like a psychiatric condition that someone would be homosexual. Mm-hmm. And that's the most definition he has for what's going on. And so rather than being aggressive about it, he's just at a complete loss as to how to make heads or tails of this situation.
We're going to take a brief break from the conference and continue our show, and then we will go back in a few moments. But I'd like for you to call in, and the call-in number is, we're going to take a brief break, and the call-in number is area code 917-889-2807, and call in with your questions, or you can go into the link at the bottom and you can ask your question. And when you ask your question, I will be able to ask it within the conference for you. So I encourage you to do that. You can also look at part one of this conference, and we are going to go back in.
We have time for one more question. Over here, far right.
A beautiful film to look at, a beautiful script for the actors to play, but the question I have to do is with the nakedness of the erotic desire in terms of class privilege. In literature like Foster, it trumps class privilege, but it usually comes back to bite you, and it does in this film too. So could you talk a little deeper about that intersection, Todd, of class privilege and erotic desire?
Well, I guess I don't particularly isolate the privilege of desire with Carol, who has the class privilege between the two women. I think the intense state of desire that we understand Carol through, that we keep filtering Carol through, is of course being cast by Therese's desire for her. And in a way, that is the machine that is moving the narrative forward through a good part of the film, is Therese's desire. And Carol, there are moments where you wonder how she feels about Therese. There are moments where it feels like a detour from her life. It feels like a sidebar, an outlier to the issues that she has to confront. That she probably at times wonders or feels embarrassed about. Am I really spending all this time with this girl who really is just taking form in front of me? I think all of that gets reevaluated later in the film, and it's most articulated in that scene with Sarah toward the end of the movie, where they're both kind of stripped down, and you see a side of Carol we haven't seen before. But even though Rooney is literally the one being explored physically or sexually revealed more in that sex scene, it feels like that's something that Therese is conducting as much as Carol.
And maybe as a parallel to that, there is sort of a sense, too, as we mentioned earlier, that Therese has got opportunities that Carol never had, and there's sort of a sense of not so much class, but also just a different stages of life and different places that they both are at.
Yeah, I mean, that line that Carol gives that people have brought up to me and was even a point of questioning when we were making the film, when Carol looks at Therese's body and says, I never looked like that. A kind of expression of intimacy that is hard to find a parallel to among gay men, and certainly not heterosexual couples. It's something pretty unique to what two women might be able to say to each other, even though you kind of look at Kate and go, yeah, right.
No, I never look like that.
To wrap up, I just want to comment that the film is so graceful and so elegant. I'm wondering that for all of you, kind of moving on to your next projects, there's probably no way you can't take some of the beautiful emotionalism of this project with you as you move on. Did anybody have anything that you sort of thought about as you left the project and moved on that you took with you from this film? No?
I'll say so.
Please.
The last scene in the film, the strength and the power and the conviction and the heroism of Kate's character in all the moments that happen in that room, and allowing the other character to look at this woman as someone that is not his wife anymore alone, but someone he has respect for and looks up to, created a whole new type of love, if you will, for the characters to go on as they do into the 60s and the 70s and what have you. And I thought that was, it sort of gives me chills because it worked up to that. That was really, it's a beautiful, strengthful, strengthful. I'm from Texas, I'm sorry. It was very strengthful. But it was just, it was very powerful. And I think there's a reflection of what that is today, if you will, and the conscience of what's happening present, that it's that love. Mm-hmm. I think that was really powerful.
Yeah.
Well done.
Well, I can't think of any end shot, any end smile at the end of a film that means more or is as full of emotion as the one that's at the end of this film. And ladies and gentlemen, please give a big hand to the cast and crew of Carol, Todd Haynes, Phyllis Nagy, Kyle Chandler, Kate Blanchett, Rooney Mara, Sarah Paulson, and Jake Lacy. Thank you.
That's the end of this particular episode. Blessings.